For those of you who came in after the announcements, you can go ahead and start, Jimmy. Those of you who came in after the announcements, I explained that every month that has a fifth Sunday, we emphasize missions. So this is a fifth Sunday month. And so we're bringing you an emphasis on missions and outreach. And it's interesting, my Bible reading again this morning, which is, I follow a regular routine, but it really fit into today's theme. From Psalm 72, this is called a royal psalm. And it says, may his name endure forever. This is a psalm that's written primarily about King Solomon, but it really is about King Jesus. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him, all nations call him blessed. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. That's from Psalm 72. Psalm 86 says, there is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Did you know that was in there? All nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Psalm 86:9. That's God's plan A. God's plan A has always been what Psalm 72:18 and 19 say, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The whole earth filled with God's glory. That's what missions is all about. Taking the good news, taking a story about God's glory into all the world, near and far. And as John Piper famously said in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, from Psalm 67, he says, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. There's still places that aren't worshiping the true Lord, the true God. But they will. But they will. It says all nations. I don't know how God's going to accomplish that. But he's using you. He's actually using you to do that. As you support those who are going. Some of you have had the privilege of going yourself. So, I don't want to take a lot of time from our brother Fran, but we support some folks, and I'll just refer to them by their first names. And, here's S and J, who are in Indonesia. And these newsletters, I'm not reading them, but I'm just pointing them out to you. They're posted in our hospitality center for you to read and for you to get a better picture. We try to send them out to you as well when we get them. But S and J are working in an area where they've not yet been able to share the gospel a lot. They're still working on language and culture. They've started a business, a Virgin Coconut Oil Company, that has given them a definite inroad into the community. And they ask us to pray for that success. but also for opportunities that S would have good language sessions and continue to push on to greater fluency in this language. And he's hoping to have the kind of fluency that he needs by early next year. So they have a picture of him and his family here. And S happens to be our sister Judy's son. We know Judy. Then another son of Judy is Jesse and Bobby. And they're recruiting. They're in a ministry of recruiting churches to help support missionaries who go into places. These are specifically going into places where the gospel has never been. And they helped, Jesse and Bobby helped to raise churches up who will support the work there in these other nations. And again, it's a slow process for some of them. Then there's another family that we support, another Jesse and his wife in Montenegro. And this is our newest support family, and they are working in Montenegro. They've been there 8 months now, learning the language and meeting with some evangelical believers there in a local church that they want to then help that church to plant other churches. So that's their main goal. They're helping this church to plant other churches. And you can read about that. Then we support New Foundations International. Our own brother Tim is here today, and I told him when he came in that I was going to talk about him without his knowledge. And I am. And as you know, New Foundations, we work with indigenous, native, language-speaking, cultural knowledge folks who already are church leaders. We take them and train them so that they can reach their own people. It's really a faster process for that to happen. We have three manuals that over the years God has moved us to develop. And one is, the first one was God's Plan for His Church. I've shown this to you many times before, God's Plan for His Church. Then the church leaders that we were working with in Vietnam said, well, what do you have for new believers? And so we have God's Plan for His Disciples. And then those leaders also said, well, what do you have for children who are disciples? So now we have God's Plan for Young Disciples. Okay. The reason I point that out to you is because I want you to be aware of the languages that these are involved in. And again, I'm not going to go over everything, but we have about almost 30 different languages that one or more of these manuals has been in. And the most recent one, of course, is God's Plan for Young Disciples. But let me just share some of the books in translation or in the format process. Let me explain that process too a little bit. I only have the ability to speak English. And our brothers who are on the team, they speak English. So we take the English version and take it to other foreign nationals who speak English. And they take the manual then and translate it into their language. Okay? So they translate it into their language. And once the translation is done, then they send it to our brother Sherman. And some of you have met Sherman. And he takes it and formats it so that it fits in booklet form. Okay. Then he sends it back to them. And this is all through technology. He sends it back to them, and they look over it and say, okay, yeah, this is all right. No, this needs to be changed. And so then it's sent back, and then after all that process is done, then it's printed. Am I getting this right, Tim? Okay. Then it's printed. And we want them to print it in their country because it's usually cheaper to do so instead of printing it here and then trying to ship it over there. So these three manuals, you have God's Plan for His Disciples is being translated in Acholi in Uganda. It's being translated into Arabic and into Bemba in Zambia, Bengali in India, and Chichua, and the Creole, and Farsi, and French, and Hausa. That's African. In the Karen, which is in Myanmar, the Khmer, Mandarin, Oriya, Rohingya. You have all of these different languages that this material is being translated in. And there, even God's Plan for Young Disciples is in 9 different languages. Burmese in Myanmar, Chin in Myanmar, English, Hausa in Kenya, Kiswahili in Kenya, Spanish, Swahili, almost in Urdu, Vietnamese, and another language in Myanmar. You get to be a part of this. You get to be a part of this. You are supporting this ministry, and we have the privilege also of being involved. They need some Spanish versions. God is at work. They need some Spanish some workbooks in Spanish printed to work with the Quechua Indians. Now the Quechua, it's not in their language yet, okay, but it's in Spanish, and the Quechua pastors know Spanish, and so they're taking this material and they're using it among their people in Ecuador. And speaking of Tim and Sherman are going to Ecuador May 3rd through the 9th. So they would appreciate your prayers. And then Randy, our brother Randy Matthews from Connecticut, he's going to Uganda on May 9th through the 27th. Tim will be May 21st going to Southeast Asia, 3 different countries in Southeast Asia. We need to pray for that brother. We need to pray for that brother. Then Randy is going to Pakistan and Uganda again in June. Another brother, Jonathan, is going to be going with Randy to Pakistan in June. So God is at work, and He's using these three manuals, and you should hear about the incredible response that the believers there, they're so excited to get something like this because they don't have anything in their language. They don't have it that, you know, even the pastors haven't gone to Bible school. They don't have the opportunity to, but yet they get these manuals and say, this is incredible. And some of the pastors who've been to Bible college have been through some of these manuals and said, I get more out of the manuals than I got out of Bible college. So it's incredible what God is doing, and I just wanted to encourage you. You are a part of that in the support of what God is doing. So Fran is going to come because you are also a part of, Fran and Diane are going to come. Come on, so I can hush. They're a part of a local ministry here with Universal, and they're going to tell you all about it.
All about it.
And you're going to use this, and she's going to use the other mic, and you stand over here, and your clicker's already on.
Oh, that for me.
Then it works better if you're on this side, but you got to stay within the window so that the people at home can see. But if you struggle, do the best you can.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Good morning, FBC. It's great to be here. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you would cleanse our hearts, clear our minds from worldly distractions as we're distracted by so much throughout the week. Lord, we pray that you would prepare our minds and our hearts to enter into your throne room of grace and to sit at your feet and to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to each and every heart gathered here today. We thank you for this opportunity to share, and we pray that you would be glorified in us and through us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So James 1:27 says this, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So we see a couple blessings right away, the blessings that we visit the orphans and widows, and then the challenge is there, that you have to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's a good challenge for each and every one of us. So before I get started, I just want to say thank you to Don and B. Crane, Tommy White, and also Elsie Moore. They help us at Universal, and they're a true blessing as they come alongside us. Years ago, when I was at a conference in Maryland, I was spending time with the Lord in my hotel room. I'd been seeking the Lord as to how I could serve him more and what I could do to serve him more. And I wanted a better walk with him, a closer walk with him. And the Holy Spirit drew me to this verse in James. And the peace of God came over me. And I couldn't quite understand why, but God had a plan. So I didn't totally understand what God was saying to me. So I met with my pastor when I got back to the church, and I was talking to my pastor and just trying to get clarity on what the Holy Spirit was saying to me out of this verse in 1:27. And that was when my pastor suggested to me that, maybe the Lord's calling you to serve in assisted living homes. There's plenty of orphans and widows there. And I had never thought about that. And I thought right away, I was like Moses. I went, oh, wait a minute. I have no idea. I'm not educated enough. I've never been trained to minister to the elderly. I wasn't sure if I even had the words to minister to these people. So I was a little skeptical, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm only 45. Why do I want to be in an assisted living home? But God had a plan, and I'm blessed to be here today. So the Lord reminded me of Diane's life verse out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So he let me know. First of all, I needed to trust in him. And I needed to not lean on my own understanding because I didn't get it, but I needed to lean on him, and I needed to acknowledge him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he would direct my path. So we ventured in to assist the living nursing home ministry. So today, Diane and I would like to share some of this Mission Sunday, to share with you a part of the field that is very near and dear to our hearts, as I'm sure it is to God's heart. Every ministry is near and dear to God's heart. I'm just going to run some stats by you so you have a better idea of what these homes are all about, because sometimes it's hard to figure out. So 7 out of 10 people require some kind of assisted care in their lifetime. And there are over 15,000 of these homes in America, and it still continues to grow today. There's over 1 million people who reside in assisted living. There's over 1.5 million who reside in nursing homes. And the population of these homes will double by 2036, and they will triple by 2049. 70% of the people who reach 65 will be in need of long-term health care. And the average stay in one of these facilities has dropped tremendously over the years. The average time in this facility was down to 2 years. Today, it's down to 1 year. Not much time for these people. The typical services offered in the flyers and bulletins that they pass out, 24-hour supervision, exercise and wellness, housekeeping, meals, dinings, medication management, personal care, activities, and transportation. But what I find missing or not mentioned in most of the bills and these flyers is spiritual nourishment. It's not there anymore. Used to be years ago, but nowadays, maybe a little more down in the south here, but I'm from Vermont, not mentioned much in Vermont. So we go to Romans. How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I believe that's why the Lord laid it upon my heart some 28 years ago to enter into this ministry. Diane and I have been doing it for a long time. We've been so blessed. A couple more stats. North Carolina has 36,148 residents in these facilities. I share that with you, and along I want to share the number of staff that are in these homes. This is throughout America, but there are over 1,700,000 employees in these buildings. So there are over 4 million souls in these homes today. That's a lot. 4 million souls in these homes today that we are able to minister to, because we go there and we minister to the residents. But it's amazing how much God has used it in the nursing staff and even in the extended family that these residents have. They have been blessed to hear God's word. These people are in need of the good news. They need to hear the good news of salvation. They're in need of the good news of comfort that God gives, or the peace that the Lord gives us. They're in need of the encouragement and feeling like they're worthy, and the blessed hope that we have for tomorrow in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ministering these homes can obviously be pretty challenging. Some people think, why do you go there? They're sleeping. They don't pay attention. Yeah, sure, it happens. Sometimes they're being affected by medications, or they're discouraged, and they're feeling like they've been abandoned. Whatever it may be, there are some distractions that take place in these homes. But we want to share with you some experiences now that we have been blessed to be a part of in this ministry. And hopefully the Lord will use these to encourage you to become a part of a work for the Lord that will bless you beyond measure. I don't think Terry knew I was going to be using this to gain laborers, but it'll work out. There are over 7 senior living facilities right here in Fuquay Marina, and there's 20 others in the surrounding counties. Plenty, truly a need for the Word of God to go forth in these homes. So I'd like to share with you a time when the Lord convicted my heart on the outlook of ministering to the elderly in these homes. This is called my Pastor Joseph story. So we'd been ministering for about 3 years. And little did I know that I was allowing Satan to get a foothold in my mind. I was going to these homes and I was feeling really discouraged. And it seemed like there was no fruit. And it seemed like the residents were being disruptive and they were sleeping. And I fell right into that trap and said, why am I here? What am I doing? Is this really? So I met with a pastor friend of mine to share my discouragement and my frustration. And I whined. And I whined. And I whined. I mean, I can whine. I can whine with the best of them. So I was whining. And so when I got done, I got to a pause, and Pastor Joseph looked up at me, and he said, well, are you done? And he said, are you done feeling sorry for yourself, friend? And do you really believe that God called you to this ministry? I said, absolutely, I truly believe that. He said, you have to understand, these precious people are on their final lap of the race. And he said, what you need to understand is that Satan does not want you sharing the love of Jesus with them, because that snatches them right out of the palm of Satan's hand. And he said, you need to step aside and you need to trust God. And then he shared this verse out of Zechariah 4:6. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, how I was convicted of the poor me's. I had to repent right there. Because I wasn't trusting him. I wasn't acknowledging him. I wasn't leaning on him. I let Satan get me into that personal poor me stage. And so after I repented, the Lord, through his mercy and grace, brought me back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on his understanding. And lean not on your own understanding, I'm sorry. But acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your paths. So Diane's going to share with you a little testimony on how the Spirit of the Lord ministered to a lady named Helen.
Helen was a sweet lady that lived right across the hall from where we were ministering in a home called Holton Home. And I was allowed at that time, I'm not sure they would allow you to anymore, but I was allowed to go room to room and invite people. So every week I would go and invite Helen to come and join us for church. We called it church. And she'd say, "No, thank you, honey, but I'm glad you stopped by. Please close the door." So I would do that. And week after week, she was friendly, so I kept going and I kept asking her, and she kept saying no. And then one week, I noticed that her door was open. I had shut it, like I was always asked to do, but her door was open. I thought, that's interesting. The following week, the same thing happened. "No, honey, but please close the door on your way out." And I did, and then the door was open again. The following week, or a couple of weeks later, Helen came to our service. And she sat in the back and she listened. I didn't see her mouth moving while we were singing, but I brought her a songbook like everybody else and turned the pages for her. And afterwards, she called us over and she said, "You know, I have been so miserable. I was so mad at God. I was mad that he took my husband. I was mad that I had to move in here. Mad at my kids that they sold my house. But I think that God is starting to soften my heart." And in the next few weeks, we saw such a change. We saw such a change. And pretty soon, she was the best singer and loudest ambassador for church on Sundays.
Amen. Thank you. So this next little story I want to share with you is probably my favorite. I have a lot of favorites, but this one is probably my favorite. Now remember these words out of Zechariah: "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." This is called, and also I want to back up here a minute. This is also showing me the truth of Matthew 19:26, where Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So this is the bird lady story. We'd been ministering at this home for a while. And I went in, we were in there one Sunday, and I was sharing out of the Word of God. And it was a fairly good-sized room. So I'm sharing from the Word, and I look up, and I see this lady, one of the residents, way back at the end of the hall, and I figured it was just one of the residents that maybe had just gotten up. And so she's kind of walking towards us, and I'm teaching, and she's walking, and I'm teaching. And then I finally notice when she gets halfway to me that she's wearing this old tattered nightgown. And she's got on a pair of slippers that are pretty raggedy, and her hair is a mess. It's like she just got out of bed. I thought, well, maybe she has. So I don't say anything, and I just keep on going, and she keeps on walking. And pretty quick, she's like, where that microphone is or whatever. She's standing right there. And I'm going, oh, Lord, what do I do? I'm not sure what to do because this is a resident that I'd never met. And I wasn't sure what she was going to do or say. And so the Lord just gave me peace, and I didn't say anything. Well, she took a couple more steps, and all of a sudden she veered off to the right. And she circled around behind me, and I wasn't sure where she was going, but there was a room back there, and I knew that. And so I just kept on keeping on because I didn't want to disrupt anything. So we get all done, and we're finishing up, and I look up, and this lady is at a bird cage, and she's playing with this bird. Therefore, the bird lady story. So she has been playing with this bird. This goes on for like 4, 5, 6 weeks. She does the same thing. So then I'm there on this one Sunday, and I'm speaking, and we're headed towards finishing up, and all of a sudden I see this lady coming down the hall, the runway. And I did a second look, because this lady had on one of the most beautiful dresses you could ever see. And she had on her Sunday go-to-meeting shoes, whatever you want to call them, and she had on a set of pearls. And her hair looked like she just came from the beauty parlor. And I thought, wow, what a transformation. Kind of reminded me of when we received the Lord. He just changed this whole lady's countenance. And so she's walking, I'm talking, she's walking, I'm talking. And she does the same thing. She gets in front of me, but then all of a sudden she sits in a chair that's right next to where I'm teaching from. And she sits through the rest of the service. And we get done. So a couple weeks go by, and I finally get the, I wasn't sure how to approach this lady, so I finally got to go over and say hi to her and say how glad we were that she was part of our ministry and glad she's coming and all this. And so she looks up at me and she says, can I have this book? And I said, sure, you can have a songbook. We got plenty of them. You can take it to your room if you want. And so she did. The next week we come in, and I'm walking in, and this lady is sitting at a table next to where we do our service, and she's got the book open. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. She's praising the Lord before we even get here. And so then as soon as the music started, she slid over into her chair. So a couple weeks went by, and then there was a nurse in there. And I still didn't know this lady's name. I'd asked her what her name was, but she didn't respond. So I went over to a nurse, and I said, listen, I need to know this lady's name because she's been coming and I don't know her name. And she asked me for a songbook, and I see that she's at the desk every morning when we come in now, and she comes over and she sits through the whole service. And so the nurse looked at me and she smiled and she said, Fran, she couldn't have asked you for a songbook. I said, well, she did. And she goes, no, she couldn't. She said, this lady can't hear and she can't speak. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I was shocked. But this lady came every week, dressed up, came to the service every week, ready for church, and she spent her whole time there. Now, how the Lord ministered, I have no idea. But she asked me for the songbook, I gave it to her. But it's my favorite one because it really encouraged me, as the Lord had done since I confessed the poor me's and moved on. It seemed like from then on, the Lord kept encouraging us that we were in the right ministry. You're doing what I want you to do. Just keep on doing what I want you to do. And so the bird lady's definitely one of my favorite stories.
At the same place where the bird lady was, we used to, we would minister, and after a while, they started bringing people down. It was, I think, 5 or 6 floors of a nursing home, and they started bringing the Alzheimer's patients down from upstairs, and they would bring them in. Some of them couldn't even walk. They would bring them in on beds. They would bring them in just to be at the church service. It was amazing to not only us, but to the nurses that were there, that some of these people never talked. They didn't talk, and they didn't have any ability to communicate with people, really. But when they came to church, they would sing. Some of them were very hostile. And even when they first got there, they were hostile. But the music would start, and they would remember the hymns from when they were children. And they would not only sing, they would sing loud, and they would sing without looking at the book because they knew the words from their childhood. And the nurses were so blown away. One of the nurses said to us one time, she said, Sundays is my very favorite day to work because everybody is in such a good mood. And we thank you so much for coming. And it was so encouraging to us.
I got one more quick one I have to share with you because this was the Lord, again, holding me accountable. So I'd been teaching at this home. And there was this lady called Lois, and she used to come out of her room in her wheelchair. She'd wheel out, and as soon as it was over, she'd wheel back in. So it took me a while to finally catch her. It must have taken me a month or so before I finally caught her to catch her name and introduce myself. And so she kept doing this in and out. And then I'd gotten called away. I had to go to Florida. My sister had called me and said that my brother-in-law was in big trouble, and it sounded like he was going to pass. So I flew down to spend some time with him. Praise the Lord, my brother-in-law didn't pass at that time. But I was flying back on Saturday, and I was getting a little stressed because I hadn't had time to prepare my message for Sunday. And so I was praying on the plane, and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what do I do here? I didn't get my sermon ready. And so he led me to a psalm that I had shared before at a couple of the other homes. And I'd settled on the fact, okay, that's what I'll share on Sunday morning. So I got there, and I shared the psalm and got all done. And Lois had wheeled out. And so we were cleaning up. And all of a sudden, I noticed Lois was still sitting out there. And so we got eye contact. And Lois says, Fran, could I speak to you for a moment? I said, yeah, sure. So I went over, and, you know, I was chatting with her, and I said, what can I do for you? She goes, well, I got one question for you. She said, what happened to Paul? And I'm thinking, I just taught out of that psalm. I don't know what you're talking about. What happened to Paul? So I'm trying to figure it out, but in the meantime, I can't figure it out. So I finally looked at Lois and I said, I'm sorry, Lois. I don't quite understand your question of what happened to Paul. And she said, well, you've been teaching out of the book of Acts. And she said, Paul was just getting ready to set sail. And this morning you came in and you're talking out of the book of Psalms. What happened to Paul? So I said, well, so if you think they're not listening, you better pay attention. So I said, I'm sorry, Lois. And I gave her the spiel, told her what happened. And I said, I'm really sorry, but you know what? You come next week, we're going to find out what happened to Paul. So it's just a great ministry. It's such a rewarding ministry. We are so blessed to be a part of it. We get more blessed than they do. They say, thank you, we're so blessed. And I have to say, no, thank you. We are so blessed to be here. Diane's going to conclude with hers, and then I will wrap up.
Okay, so for many of these residents, we become more than an activity. We become their pastors. We learned that it's important to greet them each. You know what? I don't really need it. I'm pretty loud, aren't I? Am I loud enough without it?
No.
Yeah?
You're not.
Okay. We learned to greet them each separately by name, if you can, with a handshake or a touch on their shoulders. Sometimes they can't respond, but there's still people in those broken bodies.
Amen.
And they respond to the love that you're giving them, the love that you're showing them. We have a lady at Universal that comes often in a wheelchair covered from head to toe in a blanket, right up to her neck. So I sit beside her and hold my songbook up so she can see the words. She doesn't sing, but she can follow, and I watch her follow the words in the songbook. And each one of these songs are a sermon in themselves, as you heard this morning. So many of them tell the story of Jesus without us even opening our mouths. Sometimes it's the little things that make the biggest difference. So in closing, you've heard that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. In this ministry, we have learned how important it is to be consistent, to be there every week, so that they get to know you, so that you're part of their life, so that you become a friend to them more than just, you know, hey, that guy's coming. They get to know you by name. One lady at Hilltop, she came for her first time to see if we were there because it was snowing. It had already, probably a foot of snow had already fallen. She said, I just came to see if you were fair weather friends or not. And I said, to be fair, though, in Vermont, they do plow their roads, like, during the storms, because you can get up to 3.5 feet. So she started coming, and she became part of our church, too. We have had family, friends. We've had a lot of people join us at our ministry, especially when we were up in Vermont. My aunts and uncles used to come. One uncle lived in Florida, and he used to, when he was up there for the summer, he would come every Sunday to our ministry. And I'm pretty sure, and that's one of the uncles that passed away recently. And I'm pretty sure that he accepted the Lord. Our granddaughter, our little Harper that comes to church once in a while when she's down from Virginia, is so excited to go to Universal with us. I mean, that was the thing she was most looking forward to, because she had a song for them at the end of the service, you know? It's amazing who you reach through this ministry. God moves in ways we don't see or understand. He ministers hope in a time of hopelessness and joy in times of deep depression. He's given new life to some at the end of their life and snatched them right out of the mouth of hell. He shows love to those that are unloved and gives peace to those whose hearts are twisted up with anxiety. And all that with only willing hearts. Do you have a willing heart? When we leave the home Universal now, we are always so much more blessed than they could possibly be. We always feel so loved and so excited about what God's doing. Thank you for time today.
So the Lord has confirmed our calling in this ministry in many different ways. His sense of humor was 12 years after we were in the ministry in these homes. He placed Diane and I into an assisted living home, and we worked there for 14 years, which was a blessing to us. We didn't know it at the time. You know, it's like, why? Okay, I found this job at an assisted living home. I'm going in. But through that time spent, even more time spent with the elderly in those homes, we learned so much more about how to minister to them. So what insight that God had. Not me, but the Lord had insight when he placed me there. Psalm 71:9 says this, do not cast me off in the time of old age, and forsake me not when my strength is spent. And folks, not all of them, but a lot of them are in this category. A lot of them feel like they've been forsaken, and they don't have any strength left. They don't think that God can use them anymore. And they also feel like they've been cast off. They're in a home now where they may have given up their home, and they're in this room, and they got a dresser and some pictures of the family. But they really start to get a little discouraged and depressed. And then we just, from there, God just tries to keep them encouraged, that God can still use them. I try to encourage them through prayer, through a hug, through a smile, through a handshake, whatever it takes, through a word that they could speak to maybe another resident. They could see how blessed they are. So we're going to put up a few pictures of some residents that we were able to minister to in the state of Vermont, because we can do it legally. Nowadays, we can't take pictures of them, but back then we could. But you're going to see here just how precious these people are and how precious, I'm sure, they are to the Lord. So, you know, if your heart's been touched today by what we have shared, praise the Lord. This is this really is a big ministry, and it's looking for laborers, and I have no problem recruiting laborers for this ministry. So we would encourage you to pray and seek the Lord to see if you would, he would have you become involved in this kind of a ministry. A quick few do's and don'ts. Some of the things you don't have to do is you don't have to relocate. You don't have to sell your house. You don't have to go to another country. You don't have to learn a new language, as Pastor Terry was talking about. Well, you might. You might have to learn a little bit different languages to use. Or get shots, but since the pandemic, you might. But the key is that you do have to know Jesus. And you do have to spend time studying and preparing, because people like Lois are going to keep you accountable. And you need to be willing to commit, not one day a week as much as 1 hour a week. We need to go every week. It's very important that we go every week. And you need to seek the Lord, most of all, to have him give you a sincere heart for the elderly. Now, we do have materials that you saw up on the board. We have a songbook. There's some out in the foyer on display that have the songs all out in large print. In the back, there are servings that you can do that you can share with them. I use some of those sermons to prepare when I first started. Now I just work out of God's word, but those are definitely good to get you off and running. So we have material. So if you truly believe that you are being led to reach out and touch someone with the love of Jesus, this is the mission for you. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful mission. In an environment like this, please feel free to chat with Diane or I, and we would be blessed to assist you in helping to become part of a ministry that will truly bless your life. So at this time, I just want to ask Don or B or maybe Tommy if they'd like to share anything, because they're involved in Universal. Don? Amen. Amen. Great. Thanks, Don.
But some of them, they'll have really good attitudes despite their situations being in wheelchairs or whatever. And that'll, they can have joy from anyone. And kind of encouraging them to
Great. Thanks, Tommy. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this opportunity to share about your mission field into the elderly homes. And Father, we pray that you would raise up laborers there, because there are so many opportunities that you are providing to reach out and touch someone. So we pray that you'd raise up the laborers that we need to go into these homes and to just share the love of Jesus with these precious people, and to encourage them that they still are in your palm, the palm of your hand, and that they're still being able to be used by you until the day you call them home to glory. And we thank you how you've blessed us with this opportunity. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we got one more song called I Love to Tell the Story. No?
Yes.
We do. Okay.